What up? Thank you for joining me here for this episode of Bengals. Well, this is just a Bengals post-game reaction, Asbrock's Bengals thoughts, whatever you want. I'm flustered right now. But regardless, it's brought to you by Impact Sports Cincinnati. My name is Chris Asbrock, and I will be with you again, as always. Man, this was a tough one. The Bengals fall to the Indianapolis Colts, 31-27. In a game to where Bengals had the lead and could not, they couldn't get the job done. Bengals fall to 1-4-1, and the Indianapolis Colts improve to 4-2 on the season. Not much more you can say about this one. This was a very tough loss, tough pill to swallow. If you're a Bengals fan, this was just one that you cannot simply let slip away. The Bengals found a way to do that, and they are, they just continue to find themselves in a never-ending. So I was looking at quotes there here by Zach Taylor at the end of the game. But they find themselves on just the hamster wheel that just continues to spin, and they can't seem to get things going. This one, again, this one's a tough one. This is a tough pill to swallow. Man, you're up 21-0, and you would think, okay, you're in prime position, to continue moving forward to a victory. They're up, like I said, 21-0 and even 24-7 before the wheels fell off and the Indianapolis Colts just took care of the game and went on to victory. This one really stinks. If you look at the scoring drives here, the Bengals capitalize on a turnover. The Colts go two plays, fumble the ball. Bengals go seven plays, 43 yards. And it was a Giovanni Bernard two-yard touchdown run. The drive took 2 minutes and 48 seconds. And your Bengals are up 7-0. Indy gets the ball back. Bengals force them three and out. Joe Burrow ends up with a two-yard touchdown run right up the middle there. 12-play drive, 78 yards, takes just under 6 minutes. Bengals up 14-0. And then you're like, all right, here you go. See what happens. Another three and out by the Colts offense. Bengals go four plays, 80 yards, a minute and 49. They're up 21-0. And you're thinking, all right, here we go. That's at the end of the first quarter. Defense, continued to – they did a good job for the first quarter. And that's really where it went downhill, because 7-play drive, 87 yards, that was a touchdown. 9-play drive, 80 yards, touchdown. 9-play, 82-yard drive, touchdown. And at that point, just before that, those three drives in the second quarter were – that was 25 plays right there that, encompassed over 80 yards in each drive. And each drive took less than 3.5 minutes, and they got 21 points on the board. The Bengals were able to get a field goal in the first drive of the second quarter for them on a 9-play, 26-yard drive, and the Bengals were able to go up 24-7 at that point. But again, at the end of the half, it's 24-21. Bengals are in the lead, and you're thinking, okay, let's see what happens. The momentum was all – it was just strictly on the Indianapolis Colts and beside. I mean, they were having no problem in driving down the field, and you could see the momentum was really starting to shift in this game, and that's exactly what happened here. Bengals just could not get anything done, and obviously it was something that, the coaching staff – was just unable to handle, and they simply just were, taken care of and properly dispatched is how you kind of want to look at it. And, when you look at this game, the Colts, like I said, the Colts improved to 4-2. I don't think the Colts are a very good football team. I'm not saying that they are, they're not pure garbage by any means. They're not. I mean, they're obviously a good football team. Phillip Rivers is, he's a good quarterback, and you still have some weapons on offense there, and the defense statistically is or was the best in the NFL. And the Bengals, that first half or the first quarter, let's put it that way, took it to them, and they really made them, you know, made them pay for it. And, you know, but after that, again, the other team seems to make adjustments, and the Cincinnati Bengals refuse to do that. I don't know why, but it's one of those things that this team cannot and will not make adjustments. And that just it truly baffles me how a team cannot just they can't seem to grasp making an adjustment in a football game when the other team has all the momentum. I mean, like, I'm sorry, at some of these points I'm speechless because it just baffles me that a team fails to make adjustments as the game moves forward. Good coaching staff makes adjustments. They adapt and adjust as the game moves forward. This team simply does not do that, and they haven't done it in the last two coaching eras here. And Zach Taylor and Marvin Lewis. You know, it was the old mantra with Marvin that, you know, you knew if Bengals were in the lead at halftime, they were going to come out in the second half and play not to lose. And that's exactly how Zach Taylor is handling this situation here. Simply coaching not to lose. When you're up 21-0 in the NFL, there's no reason you should lose a football game like that. Simply not. And the Cincinnati Bengals simply do not make adjustments. They coach not to lose. And I saw a tweet on, you know, right, I think it was right, might have been right at the beginning of the fourth quarter, or might have been hell when things were really starting to go sideways, that when you coach to lose, you are going to lose every single time. And that is exactly what we are seeing right now with Zach Taylor and this coaching staff. Simply put, they're coaching not to lose, and it is costing this team victories. Right now, there's no reason this team should have lost to Indianapolis, Philadelphia, and the Chargers. The Browns game, that's a toss-up. I don't know how that – I could see them losing that game, but I could also see them if they had actually played a little bit, you know. But besides that, regardless, you know, this team should have at least four wins. At least, bare minimum four wins right now at this point in time. If the coaching staff can remove their head from the rear end and coach a game with the talent that they have on the field and move forward with that. Unfortunately, they don't do that. And you are simply killing this talent on this football team and what we have because of the incompetence at the head coaching position. And it goes down from that. You simply cannot have this stuff happen week in and week out. It simply cannot happen. It is completely inexcusable that these results continue to happen. I'm baffled by it. I truly am truly baffled by what we continue to see week in and week out from this football team. Now, granted, is it a culture thing? I mean, what is it about this team that we're seeing? Like, what is it? Why are we continuing to see this, you know, week in and week out? You know, why? That's what I'm trying to figure that out here, is why we are continuing to see this every single week. And it is mind-boggling to me with the talent that this team has. You have Joe Burrow, who is a legit rising star in this league. As a rookie, he's, like I said, he's going to make mistakes. That's going to happen. I'm fine with that. That interception at the end, he simply did not see the defender. You know what? It is what it is, but it never should have got to this position in the first place. It, simply put, cannot happen. And that is what we're seeing. And I'm trying to get the download the game book from the NFL here. That, you know, it's got all the Encompass stats, which is, you know, obviously going to be a lot more than what I've got right now. But you look at the Bengals offense here today. Joe Burrow, 25 of 39 for 313 yards. That last interception right at the last drive. Again, you know, right there, he is, you know, Joe Burrow, another 300-yard game for him. I mean, he just continues to impress. I mean, he does. He makes some throws. Again, he takes some sacks, you know, and does make some bad throws. Again, rookie mistakes that he's going to learn from. Plain and simple, he's going to learn from those. That's, you know, we have to expect that. It is what it is. I mean, there's nothing more that we can say, but, you know, that kind of stuff is going to happen. You know, and looking at it, you know, the Bengals had the lead until, what point is it here? It is, until the 14:55 mark of the fourth quarter. That's when the Colts officially took the lead, you know, and simply put, like I said, this simply cannot happen if you're the Cincinnati Bengals. It can't. And again, they do it, and it continues to happen. And you can't afford to let these kind of things happen. You just can't. Joe Burrow, like I said, 25 of 39 for 313 yards. He was sacked 2 times for 13 yards. He did have a long pass of 67 yards, and that was to T. Higgins on a beautiful pass, you know, that led to the third touchdown by the Bengals there. He had a rating of 78.3. A.J. Green. Now, this is the A.J. Green that, my goodness, folks, we have been looking for and wanting all season. This was the A.J. Green that we have come to expect. A.J. Green targeted 11 times, the most of any player on the Bengals, and he hauled in 8 receptions for 96 yards, an average of 12 yards per catch, and a longest of 19. T. Higgins targeted 8 times along with Tyler Boyd. T. brought in 6 receptions for 125, an average of 20.8 yards per reception. And again, his longest was that 67-yard pass down the sideline there. Tyler Boyd, he had 5 for 8 for 54 yards. His longest was 23. Giovanni Bernard, 3 for 3. Joe Mixon, 2 for 3. Michael Thomas, 1 for 3. And then Erickson, Carter, and Sample were all targeted once but did not have reception. But overall, again, the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, you're looking at it like, okay, here we go. See what we're going to be able to get. Unfortunately, you know, rushing-wise, the Bengals, you know, just could not get things, you know, really going offensively there. Joe Mixon, 18 carries for 54 yards. You know, he had an average of 3 yards per carry. His longest was 9. He did have a touchdown. Giovanni Bernard rushed it 8 times for 15 yards. Tyler Boyd, the 1 rush for 25 yards. Joe Burrow, 3 for 2. T. Higgins, 1 for 2. And then Samaje Perine on that 3rd-and-1 that completely just, you know, baffled me that they would decide to go to Perine, you know, in that situation there. It made no sense. You don't understand it. I did not get. The guy hasn't run the ball all season. Mainly a special teams player, and you're going to throw him in. And that situation just, you know, again, completely baffled me. Kevin Huber, again, continues to impress. 3 punts, 131 yards, an average of 43.7 net yards of 38 yards. His longest punt was 53. Oh, my goodness. This team, and defensively, you know, rushing the ball, they, you know, everything was on Phillip Rivers. I mean, they didn't really need to get anything going. Taylor had 12 rushes for 60 yards, and, you know, he averaged 5 yards per carry. His longest was 21 yards. And then other than that, Burton, Wilkins, and Rivers all rushed once for a combined negative 1 yard combined between those three. Phillip Rivers, 29 of 44 for 370 yards. He was sacked once, but he had 3 touchdowns and an interception on a great interception by Jesse Bates. But his longest pass was 55 yards, and that was to Johnson. He had a quarterback rating of 105.4. Now, you know, you look at the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, they had looks like 9 different receivers have a reception. 10 of them were targeted overall. That's the same amount that were targeted in this game, but 2 more receivers had receptions for the Colts and Phillip Rivers. And again, you look at, let's see, let's kind of go down here. You look at total first downs, Bengals had 22 total first downs, 6 via the ground, 14 via the pass, and 2 via the penalty. Now, Colts had 23, 5 via the run, and 18 via the pass. Now, this is where it's going to get a little frustrating here. Third down efficiency, the Bengals were, again, under 50%, and they were 8 for 17 for 47 yards. The Indianapolis Colts were 7 for 11, which is 64% there. Total net yards, the Bengals had 398 net yards compared to 430. The Bengals ran 73 offensive plays compared to 60 for the Indianapolis Colts. The Bengals had 34 minutes and 28 seconds of time of possession compared to 25 minutes and 32 seconds for the Indianapolis Colts. Red zone efficiency, the Bengals, you know, or both teams were combined 7 of 7. Bengals were 3 for 3 and the Colts were 4 for 4 in the red zone. And, you know, it comes down to teams taking advantage of opportunities when they're presented to them. Plain and simple, the Cincinnati Bengals did not take advantage of plays when they had a chance. And they simply did not take advantage of that. And if you look at, I'm trying to get down here on the, the 10 longest plays here for the Cincinnati Bengals. 67 yards, and that was that, you know, pass to T. Higgins on that great pass where he laid it in there to T. Higgins, or Burrow laid it in there to Higgins down the right-hand side. And then 25, 23, 22, and 20. So those right there, they had 4 plays over 20 yards. The Indianapolis Colts, their longest was that that Rivers pass to Johnson on the right-hand side, which was, you know, defended by Von Bell. That was a 55-yard. And then it was 22, 22, 21, 21, 20, 20, and 20. So that's 7 plays of over 20 yards. 8 total if you include that 55-yard pass. But other than that, those plays cannot happen. And, you know, one of those was a run. That was the run by Taylor down on the when he ran on the left side and got outside containment there. And again, it was at that point I was listening to the game as I was on my way to my in-laws. And Dave Lappin pointed out perfect that the Colts were beating the Bengals to the outside. And plain and simple, you do that, you're going to win a lot of football games. And, that's what it was. And, you know, the Bengals, they continuously find a way to lose a game. And, you know, in the first half, you're up 24 to 21. You have the advantage, you know, on the score sheet. You know, their average drive start was at the 31-yard line compared to the Colts. So you had an extra 7 yards that the Colts, you know, on average had to go. And the Bengals, you know, at that point they were leading the turnover battle. And, you know, they couldn't get it, you know, they couldn't stop the momentum of the Indianapolis Colts as they put on 21 points in the second half, or in the second quarter. After this team is, like I said, they're continuing to roll. You're up 14-0 at the end of the first quarter. Like I said, you're feeling good about it. That, okay, you know, who is this football team? Like, you know, this isn't the team we're used to. Then you get another touchdown again on a drive, you know, that the Bengals go 4 plays, 70 yards. And that was, again, aided on that, you know, that 60-yard pass from Joe Burrow, the 67-yard pass from Joe Burrow to T. Higgins. And then you're thinking, okay, especially when you get in the end zone, it's 21-0. No reason this team should then be outscored like they were. Plain and simple. You're up 21-0. And you get outscored 31-6 after that final touchdown drive that the Bengals had in the second quarter. Outscored 31-6. Again, this is a situation where the Cincinnati Bengals and their coaching staff coached not to lose. And what happens there when you coach not to lose? You lose the football game. And that is what we saw again today. This team has a lot of talent on it. I'm sorry, I'm gonna feel that way, and I still feel that, you know, that this team has a lot of talent. I do. I truly believe that. We've seen it. They've got talent on this field. Granted, the offensive line is not very good. We know that. But when they, you know, they did a good job in the first quarter. Even the first, you know, the first quarter and the first drive. That kind of stuff happens. And the Bengals took advantage of it, scoring 21 points. Scoring 21 freaking points. And then you proceed to get outscored 31-6 the rest of the game. Simply inexcusable. Plain and simple, guys. It is inexcusable. I don't understand how a coaching staff can continuously let this happen. I don't understand it. I truly don't get it. And yet they do it. It seems like week in and week out. As a Bengals fan, guys, this is not fun. This is not fun to deal with week in and week out. It's awful. It is not fun to deal with. Plain and simple, it is not. Man, I mean, I continue to be floored at the way this team continues to perform when it matters. I mean, I've coached baseball, I've coached soccer, and, you know, we have that mentality. Never got a chance to coach football. I would imagine I probably will down the road. You know, if my kids get into it, but, you know, I've coached, you know, everything that they have, that they've, you know, partaken in. And, you know, I've been around sports my entire life. I've played hockey, baseball, football, I've played it all. And I'm continuing to be baffled by the mentality, especially when you get up into the professional ranks, of not being aggressive enough and not putting your foot on the neck of your opponent and putting them away when the opportunity's there. The Bengals don't do it. They never have. This kind of thing would not happen if this was any other team in the league. It was simply would not happen. You're up 21-0. There's no reason on God's green earth that you should blow this lead and be outscored 31-6 after that, because you're playing conservative not to lose. I don't understand it. And it's, you know what? I look at the way Zach Taylor and the coaching staff and how they handle things. And it's simply, you know, I've come to the realization, it's taken me a little bit, that Zach Taylor is flat out overmatched. He is not a head coach. I mean, his play calling, he seems to be overmatched in play calling and just the mentality of how he handles the game management part of it. Simply put, he's overmatched. He goes in, he hires friends. Now, granted, I mean, I don't know how many quality coaches we could have brought in when Zach Taylor was brought in so late, simply because of the Super Bowl. And, you know, he was, you know, obviously coaching on the Rams staff at that point in time. But, you know, it's, you know, I don't want to continuously crap on Lou Anarumo and the defensive staff, because they're playing obviously with a lot of injuries. But simply put, you got to make plays, and the play calling defensively is not helping that situation. Obviously, the offensive plays are not helping in that situation. You know, these kind of things, like I said, you can't afford to have them happen. You simply cannot. Now, is it time to see Zach Taylor go? I'm kind of leaning that way. You know, is it is it that time? I'm kind of thinking it might be, because you cannot be wasting the first year of Joe Burrow with an offense as inept as we are seeing right now. You simply cannot do that. You can't. And we're seeing that week in and week out, that Joe Burrow is continuing to be successful despite the play calling and the different things that are surrounding. Like, this team has way too much talent on offense to even remotely be as bad as they are. Now, granted, a lot of it is coming from the offensive line problems. That I understand. I get that. And that's where this falls on Jim Turner, plain and simple. Jim Turner is he's the guy here. Zach Taylor's never going to fire Jim Turner. It simply will not happen. Any moves that have to be made have to be made by Katie Blackburn, Katie and Troy, and the rest of the, rest of the front office there, because Zach Taylor is not going to make these moves. He's not going to put the pressure. But I can tell you one thing. The seat is getting mighty hot for Zach Taylor right now. And, it's to the point now to where, you have to really, truly think about making a move. And I was one that I wanted Eric Bieniemy in here before Zach Taylor. I'm an Eric Bieniemy fan. I'm a Colorado guy. I love Eric Bieniemy. Loved him when he was at Colorado, and I sure as hell was even more jacked when he was with the Bengals early in his career. I'm an Eric Bieniemy guy. Look what he's doing in Kansas City right now with Andy Reid. I mean, he's the guy that I wanted. He's the guy that I want now to come in here. Will he come in? I don't know. I simply don't know. But it's time to really take a look at this, the rest of this season, and how things are going to play out. Because here was an opportunity. Again, you're up 21-0 in this game. In an NFL game, 21-0, you get outscored 31-6 the remainder of the game. Can't happen. Simply cannot happen. And, I sit there and I look and, you try to be positive week in and week out. And, this was a game I felt that the Bengals could win. I was going into it feeling that they were going to win. I did. And, obviously they they proved me right early on. But then they continue to crap down their leg with a miserable and a miserable mentality and a poorly coached and poorly executed game plan the remainder of the game. Plain and simple, this game, there's no excuse that this loss should have occurred. Plain and simple, should not have happened. So this was a tough one. This was one that the Cincinnati Bengals, dang it, there's no reason, this should happen. And, the Bengals continuously, they'll amaze you. And, they'll make it interesting. And they do it once again, we're going to see, it's put this way, it's going to be very interesting to see how the rest of this season plays out. Or even hell, the rest of this week, because tomorrow it's going to be, that trip back from Indianapolis. It's a short, short bus ride, very, very short plane ride. However they get back, it's going to be very interesting to see how it's handled this upcoming week. Will a move be made? I don't know. Somebody has to take the fall, whether it's Jim Turner. Yeah, if it's not Zach Taylor, an interesting stat Mo Egger tweeted out. Dave Shula's last game as head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, he blew a 21-0 lead. Is that foreshadowing here for Zach Taylor? Who knows? Who knows? But it is going to be interesting to see how Katie and Troy and the remainder of the, like I said, the Bengals front office, how they handle it. Because again, folks, Mike Brown's not running this football team. He's not. This is evident. We've seen that with the moves that have been made. That Katie and Troy, this is their football team now. And, it's going to be interesting to see how this week is handled with Zach Taylor. I'm intrigued to see. I'm intrigued to see what happens. We saw a couple players coming out and posting some really interesting tweets about wasting talent, and it was kind of little, you know, some eye-opening stuff that we were seeing there. So that's something that's I'm curious to see again how it's going to play out and what it looks like moving forward here. So again, Bengals fall 31-27 at the hands of the Indianapolis Colts. Again, in a very tough, just a tough game. It was fun to watch for the first quarter and, you know, quarter and a half, hell. But then after that, again, things went sideways. You saw a missed field goal, interceptions, you know, and just the Indianapolis Colts just driving it right down the field against the Bengals. Bengals, you know, unfortunately, you know, again, they were unable to get it done. They fall to 1-4-1, and they still sit in the basement of the AFC North. Indianapolis Colts improved to 4-2 on the season. Bengals return next weekend to face the Cleveland Browns at home at Paul Brown Stadium in front of, I believe, it's going to be 12,000 fans. I believe is how it's going to be around that, if I'm correct on that. But, again, very tough loss for the Cincinnati Bengals, again, at the hands of the Indianapolis Colts. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at @IamChrisAsbrock and at @ISCincy on Twitter as well. Make sure you check out the website, www.impactsportscincinnati.wordpress.com. That is impactsportscincinnati.wordpress.com. Make sure you check us out. Follow me on Twitter. Engage with me on Twitter. That would be great. And as always, for all your fitness needs, make sure you check out fnxfit.com. That is fnxfit.com. And use the promo code BDiesel for 15% off of your purchase. Again, that is promo code BDiesel for 15% off your purchase. So make sure you check out fnxfit for all of your fitness needs. Again, fnxfit.com, promo code BDiesel for 15% off. And thank you, folks, for sticking with me this week after a tough, tough loss, again, at the hands of the Indianapolis Colts. I will be back next week as I will recap, hopefully, a Bengals victory as they will hopefully rebound against the Cleveland Browns next week, who took a solid drubbing from the Pittsburgh Steelers today. So, again, thank you guys so much for checking us out, and make sure you check me out again next week. This is another episode of Asbrock's Bengals Thoughts, presented to you by Impact Sports Cincinnati. Take care and have a great night, everybody.